the idea of marriage enrichment. And I had a lot of friends that would go to marriage conferences, and that sounds bad, like, oh, he didn't want to make his marriage better. But I guess I got worried about it, and I worried about it. And so there are times that Brittany and I could have gone to events, to conferences. We got invited on a trip with the leadership staff from another church, and we didn't go because I was just like, whatever, man. I'll just pray about my marriage. But listen, when we say we want to help you enrich your marriage, we're not saying that you got problems, but we know you do because you're married, okay? Somebody. Listen. We're not saying that you've got issues. We're not saying you can't fix something. What we're saying is we believe in investing in the institution of marriage. So if you've been married if you're about to get married, I want to invite you, okay? So, hey, that'd be a great place to, like, pop the question. You know, if anybody's watching or listening, you know, and I'll get choked up. But, you know, listen, hey, we believe in marriage. We believe in working. We believe in investing in marriage. Marriage is a big deal. And I want to tell you something. You know, the problem, or one problem with a lot of marriages, face is people get afraid to do the hard work. And they get afraid to do the hard work that involves, that leads to fixing things. And it's easier to run away than to face our problems. And so I think that I've seen that in a lot of places, and it hurts my heart. And, you know, we've got to get to a place in our society where divorce is something that we're not even thinking about. We're going to fight. We're going to fight hard for our marriages. So we want to invest in marriage. We believe in the institution of marriage at Community Church North Webster. All right, so if you are watching today and you're a first-time viewer, I was talking to Miss Nelda earlier. If we had any first-time visitors walked in today, they'd be like, what is going on? I mean, they would be wondering, like, is this one of those groups? Like, you know, am I at the church or am I at the hunting camp? What is going on? Go back to the ranger shed. They got a six-point up there strung up, and they're dripping him right now. No, I'm just messing with you guys. I think. I don't know. I haven't been back there. Crazy things happen. But we wanted to kind of do a little fun day today. We want to do a little theme day because deer season, bow season, in fact, opened up. I think it was Thursday. And I got a text at like 10 a.m. Thursday morning, and it was a picture of somebody had shot an 8-point. And I was like, who is you? You know, like, who do you think you are texting me this? I was wearing a suit and tie. You know, I was at work, and I'm just like, I don't want to see this. And so this guy's just bragging. I was like, you know, I'm going to pray for you, bro. But listen, I love to hunt. You guys have heard me tell a bunch of hunting stories, and I try to make sure I tell the truth about them. But just pray for your pastor. And I like to hunt, and I want us to just have fun as a church. You know, hey, and we get to do that. Listen, we get to have fun because not only did Pastor Daphne say last week that we get to have fun in church, but the superintendent was with us last week, and he said it himself. We get to have fun in church, so it's settled. So anyway, let's get started this morning. We're going to talk about harvest. And when I hunt and I take an animal's life, I like to say that I harvested that animal. And you know, I do something, and you might think this is weird, but when I take an animal's life, I stop immediately and I pray and I thank God for sending that animal my way so I could harvest that animal and help provide for my family. I thank God for that blessing because I believe that God created all of those little animals that run around, okay? And you might think they're just, you know, oh, it's just a little deer. It might not matter, but God created that animal, and I want to thank God for allowing me to have that blessing. So I want to tell you a story. We haven't talked about my cousin in a few weeks. You guys remember me talking about my cousin? Well, anyway, so my cousin, he was texting me, and he said that he was hunting in Alaska. He had booked a big hunt, and he had his friend with him, And they hired a pilot. You know, in Alaska, a lot of times you have to get on these little planes and kind of jump around because you can't drive to these really remote places. And so they got on this little plane and they flew to where they were going to hunt. And the pilot dropped these two guys off at this camp, this cabin way off in the middle of nowhere, and they hunted. And at the end of the hunt, the pilot returned, and he saw that they had killed 6 deer between the two of them. So they were doing really well. And the pilot said, "Hey, guys, listen, I'm happy for you. I see you had a really good hunt. But unfortunately, this little plane has a weight limit on it, and it will not carry 6 deer and you 2 blessed gentlemen. So you'll have to leave 2 of them." And they looked at each other, my cousin and his friend, and they were unwilling to leave these deer that they had harvested, that they had killed. And so they said, Wait a minute now. We came up here last year, and we got 6 on the plane last year. So, you know, we just want you to know that. And so they kind of argued back and forth for a little bit. And, you know, the pilot, he said, "Okay, fine. You guys are paying. Okay. And so he went with my cousin and his hunting buddies a word. And so they got 6 deer. They loaded all 6 deer on the plane. The pilot gave in. They took off, and they were flying above this pristine, beautiful landscape. And 5 minutes after takeoff, they crashed into the forest. And everyone was okay, and they crawled out of the plane. And my cousin, he crawled over, and he kind of laid on his back and looked up at the sky. And now they're really lost in the wilderness. And he said to his hunting partner, he said, "Are you okay?" And the partner said, "Yeah, are you okay?" He said, yeah, I'm fine." And then he said, do you have any idea where we are?" And the guy looked around. He said, "This is about where we crashed last year." So, yeah. Deuteronomy 24 and 19 says, "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." When we talk about harvest, when we use that word in Scripture, when we use that when we're preaching and teaching, a lot of times, now there's a teaching of harvest that talks about the end times, but a lot of times in Scripture, when the word harvest is used, it is referring to 2 blessings. It's referring to God blessing His people and His people blessing someone else. And how many of you know this morning that we are called to be a blessing to others? Can somebody say an amen on that? I want to make sure that at Community Church North Webster, we have a culture of being the biggest blessings to people. What do we say? We say 3 things. We know that God loves us, so we're going to love other people in 3 ways. We're going to, number 1, love them big. We're going to do things for people. Number 2, we're going to love them when it doesn't make sense. Maybe they just stabbed me in the back, and I'm going to turn around and embrace them. Doesn't make any sense, but we're going to do it anyway because that's what Jesus did for us. And number 3, we're going to love them forward. So we know that God loves us. He loves us so much that He gave Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. He blessed us with redemption. So we being redeemed, we need to be blessing other people. And that's our culture here at Community Church. And so harvest is telling us that we're blessed. We're blessed, and now we are going to bless. So we want harvest. We want a good harvest. We want to be blessed by God, and we want to be able to bless other people. So there's 3 things that we need to do to have good harvest, okay? And the first thing we do, and I'm going to use some metaphors here about hunting and planting because that's kind of the theme today. The first thing we want to do is plan. If you don't plan before you do something like hunt, you may be in big trouble. I remember I went on a hunt with some fellers, and the planning was not there. We woke up real early. The sun was not up. They said, hey, y'all, let's go hunt. And so we went, and I jumped in the truck, and I'm going to reference this story again because I made a lot of mistakes that day, but we didn't really plan really well, and we got bad lost. And y'all, when I say we got bad lost, I mean we got bad lost, okay? The boat broke down out in the woods that were flooded. But listen, Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man. Have you ever had a plan? Have you ever had a plan? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So you know what? Sometimes we come up with a really good plan. We got a really good idea, but those things are prone to what? Fall apart into pieces. Sometimes they don't come forward. Sometimes they don't come to fruition the way we think they're going to. But listen, can I tell you this morning, no matter what kind of plans we come up with in our lives, the plans and purposes of God will always stand. No matter what we come up with, God has already got this thing. And we might think that we're coming up with a really good idea. We might think we're coming up with something that, oh man, I'm a genius. But listen, God, man, even the genius of man is foolish in the presence of God. And so Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so we want to plan, but we want to plan our lives. If we want to have good harvest in our lives, we want to have the blessings of God, and we want to be able to bless other people, we want to make sure our plans line up with God's purpose. Let's say that together. Let's make sure our plans line up with God's what? Purpose, okay? Because when we get off that path, when we get off of the road that is God's purpose, all kinds of crazy things happen. I read the book of 1 Samuel twice in the past week. I didn't really mean to, but I was listening to the Bible, and I listened to 1 Samuel, and I said, wow, that challenged me, because it's about King Saul and the tragedy of Saul. And I started listening to 2 Samuel, and I thought, man, the first one and the second one really sound similar, and I got way into it, and I realized I was listening to the first one again. So I went ahead and listened all the way through, and what happened was God had a plan for his people. He had a plan for someone, and a purpose for someone, and that person's plan got a little sideways and got a little sidetracked, and what happened was a tragedy. Someone got out of the their plan, got away from the purpose of God, and it ended in tragedy. And I want to challenge you this morning to make sure that your plans, the way that you do things in your life, line up with the purpose of God. That day that we went on that hunt, we didn't plan very well, but the second thing we didn't do very well was prep. And the second thing you want to do, if you want to have a good harvest that involves you being blessed and you passing that blessing on, is you want to prepare. When you see, you can drive up to Gin City or down through Gillum just about any time of the year, and someone is either preparing or they're harvesting. And I'll go through way early in the year, and I'm thinking, man, these farmers are probably on break. Guess what? They don't take those. They're always preparing. And so I woke up early that morning. We were going to go hit the woods. And I got up early at like 3:00 and I smelled something really great. And my uncle was in there cooking them biscuits. And I said, I need some of those. And he had the biscuits, he had the bacon. And I wanted to prepare myself. I wanted to feed myself so I would have the strength to go on this. We had to hike in. And so I went in there and I thought I was going to prepare myself well. And so, listen, your boy likes to be blessed. And so there was a lot of biscuits and none of the other guys ate the biscuits. And I felt real bad. And I didn't want my uncle to be discouraged because no one ate his biscuits. So I decided that I wanted to be a blessing. So I went in there and I ate most of those biscuits. And we got out there and we walked and we hiked probably a good mile through some water. And I got there, I got set up, and I'm thinking I'm really prepared because I have taken it upon myself to prepare. And I got set up and I got ready, and I heard this sound coming from down south. I said, oh no. I said, Lord, help me. And that's one of those things, you know, usually you're in like a meeting with the CEO when you hear a noise like that. And so I just said, okay, you're good. You just hold on. Just hold on. But let's, you know what? Sometimes the devil gets in your belly. Okay. And I'm not going to tell the rest of the story, but it was a learning experience. All right. So we want to prepare. But when we're preparing, don't prepare in the flesh. Prepare in the spirit. Let me say that again. Don't prepare in the flesh. Prepare in the spirit. You know, you could psych yourself up when you're going to go in a meeting. You can look in the mirror and say, I'm good at this, or something like that. Or you can pray and you could say, Holy Spirit, be with me. Empower me to be to make it through this. Empower me to represent you in what I'm doing. So you could prepare in the flesh. You could prepare physically. You could do like I did. I thought I was preparing. I thought, man, I need to have energy. I need to have all this. But guess what? Didn't work like I thought. Colossians 3 talks about spiritual prepping. And it says, Colossians 3:1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. See, we don't want to prepare. When we want to do spiritual things, when we want to do the good works of God, listen, we've already talked about being blessed by him, blessed by his redemption, blessed by his presence. So now we want to talk about doing the good things. We want to go out there and be those workers in the harvest. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of harvest that he sends those workers. We want to do those things, but we got to get prepared to do the work. And we don't want to prepare in the physical. We want to prepare in the spiritual. And so, this kind of gets on toes here, but it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. Let me just take a minute. I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. I cannot stand slander. I cannot stand it. And we got a little running joke here at Community Church called pancakes. And so if I hear anything in this house that is gossipy, slandery, that kind of stuff, I'll say, ooh, I smell pancakes. And I don't even know how that got started. But we'll talk about, man, don't you be flipping no pancakes. Listen, I want to tell you something. You are called to speak life. Come on. Jesus fought to save your life. And when I say life, I mean eternal life. He fought to give you life, to give you redemption. Don't you dare walk around talking death on somebody. Don't you dare walk around speaking death. And that's what slander is. Listen to me, church. And I know I'm preaching hard, but I get to do that once or twice a month because Roy's backing me up. So listen, I get to do that every once in a while. I ask Pastor Daphne's permission. She says, okay. So listen, don't do that. Don't you do that, please. I want you to be a person that is so full of the Holy Spirit that any time that death talk starts to get stirred up around you, you turn around and you say, hey, we're not going to do that. You're brave enough to tell your friends to stop gossiping because not only are they hurting someone else, but they're hurting themselves spiritually. So don't do that. And it's so easy to fall into it. It's so easy to. Don't do that. So put away these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And then 2 Timothy 2:21 says, Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Listen, if you want God to use you for a purpose, if you want God to put you in place, listen, we pray all the time, God, send someone their way. Send someone their way. You pray that prayer, but do you ever think maybe you might get to be that person that gets sent someone's way one day? So you need to make sure, make absolutely sure that you are prepared spiritually for God to use you. So stay away from those things. And the third thing is action. When it's time, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. I watched this video last night, and it was so cool. It was this little boy, he was sitting up in a deer stand, and he had a crossbow, and here's this big, beautiful deer standing there, and this kid's just shaking. And he's like, oh, you know, and the kid's whispering, and he's almost screaming, even though he's whispering, because he's just so excited. He's like, what do I do? And his dad's like, hold on, you got to be still, got to be still. This little kid's probably 6 or 7. And that was the moment of action, okay? And sometimes we get really nervous at the moment of action, but I want to tell you, God's got your back. And don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. You know what? If you're sitting here in church and we're worshiping and we're extolling God, we're you know, saying those truths, we're singing those truths of God, and you just want to praise, you want to raise those hands, you want to come to this altar and just call out, don't stop. Don't stop at the moment of action, because God wants to use you. James 2:14 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Listen, don't. If you want to say something like that, if you want to say, oh, I'm sending up prayers, then be doing it for real. Be doing that for real. And listen, I want to challenge you. I want to absolutely challenge you right now. If someone says, brother, sister, I'm going through this and I need prayer, don't say, okay, I'll tell my pastor. Do it right then. Take them by surprise and challenge their faith. Help their faith to grow. Because a lot of times we get stuck in this tradition where we say, well, I'm going to pray about it. And by pray, we mean think about it. No, we're going to pray. We're going to call out to Jesus and say, God, put your hands on this situation. And when you do that to somebody, sometimes it'll scare them. They're like, whoa, I didn't really mean pray. Like, no. We're going to be known as people of God that have faith to call out in prayer. We ain't scared to talk to our daddy. Come on, somebody. I'm going to pray for you. Don't come up to me and ask for prayer if you ain't ready for prayer. Because I'm going to pray for you. So action. That's the third thing. Listen, we want to plan. We want to make sure that we are living according to God's purpose. We're worshiping. We're reading our Bible. Come on, 90-day challenge, people. I got an even better one for you next year we're going to run through together. Just wait and see. Make sure that you're in God's plan so you can fulfill God's purpose for you. And the second thing, make sure that you're prepared so when the moment of action comes, you're ready. Well, there wouldn't be anything more tragic for a hunter to be sitting there in a stand and watch a deer come out and get ready to pull the trigger and hear a big loud click and the deer run away because they weren't ready. Make sure you're prepared. And lastly, when you're prepared, when you've planned and you've prayed and you've said, God, I'm in your plan, I'm in your purpose, I'm not over here doing fleshly things, my spirit's lining up with your word, and you're prepared, then the third thing, you get to take action. God says, here we go, let's do this thing. Work the harvest. Jesus talked about harvest workers. Listen, God's calling you to get out there. Not just sit on a chair on Sunday morning. Not just wear camo because your pastor is crazy and says do it. God's calling you to be active in your faith. Listen, not to just talk about it, but to live it. That's so important. That's so important. Live that faith. Live that truth. Don't just talk about, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Don't just have the Jesus fish on the back of your car. Man, live it like it's really in your heart. I want to ask you today as we close, and Miss Nelda, if you'll come back to the piano here. You know, Jesus talked about, he gave a parable, and he talked about wheat that was planted. And while the wheat was planted, the farmer was asleep. The enemy came and planted weeds all amongst the wheat. And as it grew, the weeds grew up too. And I know I'm kind of borrowing from the meaning of that metaphor just a little bit, but I want to ask you this morning. Are there any weeds that have reared their heads up in your life that are getting in the way of those three things? Of you being able to be blessed by God and in turn bless others? Are there any things in your life that have showed up that stop you from being planned ahead, being in God's purpose, that stop you from prepping, that get in the way of you taking action? Is there anything like that in your life this morning? I know for me, and I just want to be real with you. And that's one of my biggest goals as your pastor, is to always be real with you. And there was a relationship that I had with someone, and I was hurt deeply by this person. I decided that I was not going to have that toxic person in my life. And listen, I'm not going to tell you that you don't need to get away from somebody, because sometimes you do. And so I said, look, I forgive you for what you've done to me, but I got to go my way. I'm going to go live my life. And I pray for you. And I prayed for that person. And I prayed for that person. And for 2.5 years, I've prayed for that person. And they sent me a text message the other day. And over this 2 years, they've sent me a lot of angry, it's your fault. You hate me. A lot of stuff like that over the past 2.5 years. And finally, the other day, and I had made up in my mind, I can't go back with that attitude, because I'm just going to get hurt again. And I'm not going to bring that to my church. I'm not going to bring that to my family. I've got to stand strong for them. But the other day, I prayed. I said, God, please just give them one little moment where the pride goes away and they just talk to me like a human. And the other day they text me and they said, look, I'm sorry. What can I do? And you know what? I ignored it. This person was trying to repent, was trying to build a bridge, and I ignored it because there was still some little bit of fear there. It's not going to work out. It's going to be too hard. I ignored it. And for 3 days, that text sent on my phone. And the Holy Spirit's in the back of my head like, excuse me. And I'm just like, man, I'm fighting, man. I'm wrestling with God. Like, God, I don't know how to do this. And I'm trying to reach out to other ministers, and I'm just not getting the answers I need. And that little thing, that little bitty tiny fear, was stopping me. And so finally I try to stay in the habit of listening to other ministers preach. And Pastor Clarissa from North Point over in Bossier, she preached a message about handling, about being able to handle difficult people. And as I listened to that message, I just wept like a big old baby. And I realized that one little thing was so small compared to Jesus. Come on, somebody. That one little thing was so small compared to redemption. And if I just jump in faith, and do what God's telling me to do, guess what? He's got my back. And so I want to challenge you this morning. If there's one little thing in your life that is stopping you from jumping in, from taking action, from preparing yourself spiritually the way you should, from living in God's purpose, from knowing God's purpose, I want to challenge you this morning to have the faith to just jump in. Because God's got your back. You believe that? As we pray it every Sunday morning, that the Holy Spirit will be in front of you, behind you, beside you, all around you. And I believe that. So if you want to stand with me today, I want to pray with you. If there's anybody here with just a tiny little thing